Okay, tonight, tonight's the last year. We have really one major topic to cover, and maybe something a little bit related, and that is the topic of the Tekufais and the relationship between the Tekufais and, in particular, the Saint Talmud of the Bracha. We already spoke about the relationship between the Tekufais and Birchas HaChama, which is, and as well as Tekufais and Ibra Hashanah. In other words, we said that we use the Tekufais from Adar to calculate when the beginning of spring is, which tells me when Pesach has to begin, or the second day of Pesach has to be. And we have the Tekufa Shmuel, which tells us when Birchas HaChama is, and we said whenever the Tekufa Shmuel is the same time that it was at Brias HaOlam, and at Brias HaOlam we said it was 6 p.m. on Tuesday evening, which in those years, the next day, you say Birchas HaChama, and we said that in this century will be on Wednesday, April the 8th. We also said that the 60th day of Tekufas Tishrei is 60th day of Tekufas Tishrei is the beginning of the Saint Talmud of Levracha. And we have to determine, we really begin with a Gemara in Masechet Tainis. Gemara tells us that Amar Rav Elazar Halacha Rabbi Gamliel, Halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel that says in the Mishnah, Shailin es haksham b'zayin mar cheshvan. We begin saying the Seyit HaMatul Vracha on the seventh day of Cheshvan, Tanya Chananya Oimer Uva Gaila Ad Shishim Et Tekufa. In Golas, in Bavel, and Chutzlar, we begin saying on the 60th day of Tekufa. You can follow along on page 14. Rashi explains, Bavel and Gaila, L'tisha Ein Tzrichim L'kshamim, Ein Shailin Ad Samu Tekufas Tishrei. They don't need rain until later. V'chein Anu Noegin Shekol Min Agenu Achar B'nei Bavel. And that's our minig of saying it in B'nai Bava, we say it in Chutz La'aretz, we begin saying it on the 60th day of Tekufas Tishrei. Just the calculation of the 60th day means that the Tekufa is day number one, whatever day the Tekufa is, and the 60th day, you begin saying the Saint Talmud Levracha at the Ma'ariv of the 60th day. So it's really, if your 60th day is, let's say it comes out on Tuesday, you would begin saying the Saint Talmud Levracha on Monday night. So it's not pshat 60 days later, Pshat is, it's the 60th day. In fact, there is a sheet that we'll mention that holds, it goes Me'es La'es, which means from the time of the Tekufa 60 days later. When we see the days, we'll appreciate that. Now the Beis Yosef and Simon Kuf Yud Zayin brings us Abu Dram. Abu Dram says, V'yayim Samach Yavoy B'chof Beis Min Novembri. That's what the Beis Yosef says, you can look it up. It's on the 22nd day of November is the 60th day of the Tekufa. And in parentheses is, it says, Gimel December. In parentheses, it says the third day of December. Im Haya, then the Avraham continues. Im Haya Aisa February Michav Ches Yaim. If February has 28 days, Aval Im Haya February Michav Ches Yaim. If February has 29 days, Tia Hasheela Michav Gimel in November. Then you begin saying Saint Almat Levrach on the 23rd of November, and in parentheses it says Dal December. Kituvas Tishrei lo'olam shiva yamim kaidem, because Kituvas Tishrei is always 7 days before, and in parentheses it says Dalad Hey October 4th or 5th of October. So we have to understand several things over here with the Beis Yosef and Abu Dram. Number one is, why is a halacha such as Zayt HaLamat Levracha totally in the Ga'esha day, in the secular day? We don't have no such thing, lo yumin zeis, that we tie in. And of course, Zayt HaLamat Levracha was said before they established the secular calendar. So why do we have that? That's question number one. Question number two is, why is the Abu Dram giving a day that we know we're not knowing? Because we know we start saying Saint Talmud Levracha on December 4th by Ma'ariv. So what step is this day of the 22nd of November? That's number two. Number three is, who put in these parentheses? And the parentheses are also different than what we do. Because we know we say on the 4th or the 5th of December. So what's this? Third or fourth. So what's that all about? And finally, we have to understand, why should 28 and 29 days of February have any impact? Even if I somehow come to terms with the fact we're using secular days, why should it fluctuate between the 22nd of November and the 23rd of November, or between the 3rd of December and so on? And why, halacha l'maisa, do we know we fluctuate between the Ma'ariv of December 4th and December 5th? So these are questions we need to answer. So number one is, why is it a secular day? As we mentioned this, I think, earlier, the reason it's a secular day is because we're using the same calculations for our season as the calendar. Basically, we said that kufas occur every 365 and a quarter days. According to Shmuel, it's precisely 365 and a quarter days. That's the same cheshbon of the secular calendar. So very simple. If I start saying the same talmud to levracha on a day, let's say it's chaf cheshbon, for example, lamashal, would be that. Let's say it's chaf kislev, right? You start saying same talmud to levracha chaf kislev. 365 days later, you're going to begin saying same talmud to levracha. It's not going to be chaf kislev anymore. It's going to be some other day, but it will be the same secular day. Basically, as it was then, because it's 365 days. So basically, it works out with secular calendar. So that's why, it's just for convenience, we use that day. But to understand the answer to the other questions, we need to understand the way the calendar works. And that is, the original calendar that was the secular calendar, as we know it, was known as the Julian calendar, named for Julius Caesar, which is actually the month we're in, is also named for Julius Caesar, July. That's why that's 31 days, because they chop Julius Caesar and Augustus said, pastish, that we should have shorter months. So therefore they chopped extra days, and that's why you have about 31 and 31 back to back, right? Because they were arrogant and chopped it from February. So that's the Julian calendar. The Julian calendar works on the following cheshbon, that the year is 365 days and 6 hours. That's the cheshbon. That happens to be identical to Shmuel's cheshbon. Shmuel's Kufa is also 365 days and 6 hours. It's managed the same thing, which means that they're working on the same calculation. That means for Dairi Dairis, well over a thousand years, Talamatar was said on the 22nd or the 23rd of November. Pashas is the Mara before, as we will see. Really, the 21st. At night and the 22nd at night, it was said b'tayr d'ayrus because it was going on the same cheshbon. Okay, we have to understand why the difference of days. Some years we'll get to that, but it was the same thing because it was the same cheshbon finished. Now, in the year 1582, there was a pope by the name of Gregory, and Pope Gregory came up with the following, or his scientists and astronomers advised him. And this is probably known before; it was known before this, but he actually took it into consideration to change the calendar. He said like this. The year really is 365 days, 5 hours, and as we said on page 1, 48 minutes, 46 seconds. Okay, now go back to the ritual calendar. Was very simply 365 days and 6 hours. And how did that calendar work? It basically said every year is 365 days, every 4 years we had a leap day, and that's the way it's going to be. Which is basically our calendar, but the problem with this calendar is that it starts to get off because these 11 minutes and 14 seconds after about 128 years will add up to an entire day. Now what does that mean? That means that if spring begins, let's say on March the 21st in the secular calendar, after 128 years, spring will have now shifted a day off from March 21st because the real earth around the sun has gone faster than your cheshbon. You say it's farshlept. You say it took 365 days and 6 hours, but it really took less than that. And therefore it starts to shift every 128 years by a day. And therefore, Gregory decided two things for the calendar. Number one was probably easier to handle for then. Number two was much more complicated. Number one was very simple. We need to fix this problem. We cannot have a calendar that has in it keeps shifting, because then all of a sudden even their chagam, all of a sudden after many hundreds of years or maybe thousands of years, their December 25th, which is typically a winter holiday, all of a sudden shifts to a different season. So kaddish, right? We can't do that. So we need to modify the calendar. How do we modify the calendar? Well, we need to take out a leap day periodically. Really, technically, every 128 years has to be a leap day pulled out. So they made it easier. And they said that any year that ends with 0, 0, 0, will not be a leap year, unless it ends, it's divisible by 400. Which means, in simple English, that means the year 1700, 1800, and 1900 were not leap years, even though they should have been, because 00 is divisible by 4. Because 1896 was a leap year, and 97 wasn't, 98 wasn't, 99 wasn't. 1900 should have been, but that's what he said, we're going to take that out. 1901 wasn't, 02, 03. So he had something very interesting between 1896 and 1904. There was no leap year, which means you went 8 years between leap years. That was a chiddush, which hadn't happened for 100 years before that. This method means, but 2000 was. The year 2000 was what we call the exception to the exception. It was divisible by double zero, but because it was divisible by 400, it was a leap year. So it was a leap year. 2100, Habalei L'Toyva, will not be a leap year because it's divisible, it's a 00. So too bad, though, it would have been geschmack that 2000 had not been a leap year because it would have been, you know, everybody would have had to Ibrig Chazer the whole sugi here. Right, so it went by basically unnoticed, although the newspapers did carry it at this point, this Nakuda, but it probably went by reading more so than had it been otherwise. I guess they had Rachmanis that it was Y2K, it had been 2 months ago, so they had Rachmanis on that. Okay, now, therefore, what happened, so this is what occurred. Now this basically works because that means three times every 400 years, you're taking out a leap year. If you do the math, it comes out to close to 128 years. It's off by a little bit, but that already will be thousands of years before it's off by a day that they didn't really care about. Right? So therefore, what this does is, we're basically subtracting three leap years every 400 years, and that will compensate for this shorter year. And therefore, everything will stay aligned. That's the first thing he did. The second thing he did was, he wanted to fix it l'mafreya, retroactively. In the year 325, there was something called the Council of Nicaea, which was a meeting of Galachim and others, assorted individuals, who came up with all sorts of doctrine for the Catholic Church. A lot of it was to separate Catholicism from Yiddishkeit, which, and in analysis, it was probably a good thing, because it made certain distinctive differences, like Sunday is a day of rest, not Saturday, which was, you know, that was a period, so to speak, from Yiddishkeit, which again took away the Chazar Fisalach, so to speak, from the religion which had existed, which they were, whatever, it's not a theology class here, but Lamaisa, that was done. One of the other things they did was they separated Easter from Pesach. It used to be Easter and Pesach were Tulim Zebezeh, whatever Pesach has Easter is. So that year they said, we want to separate it, and they came up with a different cheshbon that some years Easter and Pesach are separated. As we learned last week, it's totally when you define the moment of spring. 2005 they were separated, 2008 was also separated. L'may nafkamina comes out, Easter comes out Purim time instead of Pesach time. Better for the Yeshiva Bachram who are coming home for airline fares. Now, okay. Now, with that said, the other, so therefore, the L'mafreya wanted to fix this as well. How do you fix it, L'mafreya? Which means they wanted to do whatever it was from 325. That's how we want it to be. In other words, whenever Xmas occurred on 325, that's the same time of the year we want it to be, which is basically a few days into the winter. That's what we want it to be, the fourth day of winter, Baruch. And therefore, retroactively, we need to fix that. In order to do that, that's a long time. From 325 to 1582 is over 1,200 years. In 1,200 years, that's 10 days off. Right? We said every 128 years, it's off by a day. This is 1,250 years. So what he did was, to fix it, Lafray, is he removed 10 days from the calendar. And that is that in the year 1582, the day after October 5th, was October the 15th, right? 1582. So there was, technically, there was no such thing as October 5th or October through October 14th. 10 days, right? The 5th through the 14th were removed. It happened to be Leil Erev, it was a Thursday night of Chol HaMoed Sukkos, in the year Hei Shin Mem Gimel. So if someone was learning Mishmer that night, then they went from October 5th to October the 15th overnight. Supposedly there were riots in the streets and it was a whole big deal because imagine, it wasn't easy. First of all, if you paid rent on the first of the month, but you got your paycheck every other week, right? So all of a sudden the month ended 10 days early. I mean, it was a major issue. But imagine that's what happened.
I think you lost the World Series.
Yeah. Anyway, the other issue that came up was that this didn't happen everywhere. Some countries waited to do this. For example, when was Washington's birthday born? When was George Washington born? Yesh Garson was born January the 11th, February the 22nd. That's the real day. That used to be celebrated until they switched it to the Mondays. But Lemaisa, it's really February 22nd. But really, he was born on February 11th. Because in America, it hadn't been changed yet. It wasn't until under the new Cheshbon that it was February 22nd and how it was worked. I forgot which way is which. But Lemaisa, you had these chalukim in these changes of dates. Okay. Now, so what does that have to do with the Abu Dram? What does that have to do with what we're saying? The Teretz is that the Beis Yosef, when the Beis Yosef brings Abu Dram, and the Abu Dram writes that the beginning of the Saint Talamata Livracha is on November the 22nd, okay, it really means November the 21st by Maariv. Because it's November 22nd is the day, but we always start the Maariv before, because that's the Hebrew day. The Hebrew day begins, remember, this is really representative of a Hebrew day. It happens to work out as your siman is the English day, but the Iker is the Hebrew day, and therefore that Hebrew day will have an impact on from the Maariv before. Now, 10 days were removed from the calendar, which means that when that happened, we didn't change our calendar by 10 days. In other words, Shmuel didn't say, okay, you know what, let's change ours also. So according to Shmuel, when would Talamata begin? Because 10 days were removed, but in his cheshbon of a tkufa, it was still, right, it wasn't, you could just jump ahead. So Talamata was shifted 10 days. And therefore, if you go from November 21st, 10 days later, November 21st by Maariv, you add 10, you come up with November 31st. There is no November 31st, so it's December the 1st by Maariv. Now, every time there's a leap day which is skipped, that also shifts Talamata by one day. So when was it skipped? It was skipped in 1700, 1800, and 1900. We've had 3 years where it's been shifted, and I'll illustrate what happens, why it shifts, and exactly when that shift takes place. But now, you add 3 days to this, and you come up with December 4th by Maariv. In the 22nd century, after 2100, Talamata will begin on December 5th by Maariv, or the 6th. And in 2200, it would begin the 6th or the 7th. And in 2300, it would begin the 7th or the 8th. Okay? That's now, this for emphasis, the lesson of the Avodram, and the Beis Yosef. And that is, the Avodram writes, it begins on November 22nd. Because his day, it was before the Gregorian change, and therefore, because of that, Talmudta began on November 22nd, the Maariv before. The one who put the parentheses in probably lived in the century that it was Taka December 3rd. Now, I don't know if he's going with the day or the Maariv before. I'm going to assume that the parentheses were put in the 1800s, which meant on a regular year it began on the 3rd of December at night. And therefore, that also, those parentheses that we have in our Beis Yosef were applicable to when the printing of this Beis Yosef was put into print. So someone attempted to correct Abu Dram and say, hey, 1 second, Abu Dram was talking about then. Today, we begin Talmudta on December the 3rd. So again, either that was put in the 1700s and he was saying it begins December 3rd and the Maariv before, or it was put in the 1800s and he meant to write it begins on December the 3rd at Maariv. Okay? So that answers how these dates work. Now the other thing we need to understand is, what does February 28th have anything to do with this? And the answer is as follows. If you look at the Tkufa chart, what time is the Tkufa? So let's go to the year 1980. Well, let's use our years. 2004. In 2004, the Tkufa, first of all, the Tkufa of Tishrei always begins on October the 7th. You look down the whole column, it will never leave October the 7th in this century. The only thing is, it depends on the day, what time of day it is. If you look, if you start at the beginning of the chart, you see it's 9 a.m., 3 p.m., 9 p.m., 3 a.m. Then again, 9 a.m., 3 p.m., 9 p.m., 3 a.m. It's always one of those slots. Why? So let's go to the year 2004. In 2004, and here, let's not worry about the day of the week. The day of the week is, for this purpose, is not important at this point. We're looking at the day of the year. October the 7th, in the year 2004, it was at 3 a.m. Okay, that's our starting point. 3 a.m. It's always going to be October 7th. Okay, when did Talmud Torah begin on in the year 2004? So let's make the cheshbon. If it's October the 7th, so what is the 60th day of October 7th? So how many days do you have in October? There are 31 days in October, but 6 of them are before this event. So you have 31 minus 6, you have 25 days in October. Again, October 7th is the first day, October 8th is the second day, October 9th is the third day. If you add it up, you'll see October 31st is the 25th day. November is 30 days, that's 55. Okay, I need the 60th day. So the 55th day was November 30th, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60. The 60th day of Kufas Tishrei is December the 5th, like we said. So 12-5. But Hebrew, whatever, we gotta look at the Hebrew day. What's the Hebrew day of 12-5? Well, whatever it is. Maybe it's the first day of Hanukkah, maybe. Maybe it's Chav Kislev, right? Chav Kislev, let's say it's Chav Kislev. Chav Kislev began the night before, which means Talamata would begin on December the 4th. Okay? Now, December the 4th by Maariv. Now, 2 points here. Before I go further and go into exactly what the February issue is here. Number one is that and all this is cheshbon. If you look on page 16, I go through all these days, with days of the week, and so on. Now if you look in the brackets, you'll see there's a pre-chadash brings the Avi Ezri that's brought in the rush. And that is B'di'eved Moin Me'es La'es. Zakta pre-chadash that B'di'eved, you could be Yaitse Talumatar. So what does that mean? That means it's as follows. We said that most Shitas hold that Talamantar is the 60th day. So again, October 7th is day 1, December 5th is day 60, December 5th really began the night before, December 4th by Maariv. If you hold Me'es La'es, that means you go by the time. What time was the Tkufa at? 60 days later, from the point of the Tkufa, that's when I begin to say Talamata Livracha. So what time would that be? Well, if the Milad was on October the 7th at 3 a.m. in the year 2004, 60th days to the hour would be not at Maariv of December the 4th. It would be at 3 a.m. on December the 5th. It would be, right? It would be 3 a.m. on December 5th. That means that according to the Pre-Chadash, if I came to Shul on December the 4th by Maariv, and I forgot to say the same Talmud to Levracha, B'di'evet, I don't have to go back. Why not? Because I didn't hit 60 days yet. 60 days doesn't come till 3 a.m. Right? And since it doesn't come until 3 a.m., I really should be saying the same bracha. Now, L'chachinu we paskin, and of course you go by the day. We don't go Me'es La'es. Zakta B'alocha B'di'evet, there's the Shita Pre-Chadash. Lemaisa, the Bialaka comes out of person Shadavin B'tanai Nadava. Right? Which means that, what does it mean Shadavin B'tanai Nadava? That means he should say, you know, if I say Talmud Talmud by Maariv, that means I say like this. If Talmud is like Moshe is, then I have to daven over again. This is a regular daven Shema Nesri over again. But if Talmud is like the Pre-Chadash, this Shema Nesri, I really don't have to be davening over again because I davened the right Shema Nesri the first time. This is only a Tfilas Nadava, and therefore that is. That's how you would daven. I'm just thinking of Akasha, L'chaira, if you're saying that Shemana Esrei over like the Pre-Chadash, then you're not going to be like Shemana Esrei, because L'chaira you're going to daven, and you're going to say the same Talmud to the Bracha. Right? So what are you being Marviya? In other words, I'm sorry.
You forgot to say it.
No, you forgot to say Talmud. So I'm davening Shemana Esrei to say Talmud to the Bracha, because most Shittas hold I missed it. But Elamai Yechayshin for the Pre-Chadash, so you're saying, according to the Pre-Chadash, I want this to be a Tanai Nadava. But according to Bichadosh, you're just davening a Rosh Hashanah Esrei right now. Usually when you do Tanai Nadava, your next Hashanah Esrei is going to be right according to that Shita.
Yeah.
According to everybody, you're davening the correct Hashanah Esrei. You missed the first time the Shalos, were you Yaitzeh or not?
The other way around. The first Hashanah Esrei is like Bichadosh, and the second Hashanah Esrei is like Kol HaShivas. But I'm saying, like, if I left that, I left it out, I was yitzchak.
But I know, but then this, I'm not saying it's tonight the dava here. In other words, I want to say that if the halacha is like the pre-chadash, I want this to be the dava.
I don't want the first one to be good.
Correct, but what about Tishma Esrei? What is this?
This is the dava.
No, but according to who? What's that? We don't pass like pre-chadash, but I'm saying, but so what's the dava part of it? What? Okay, that's one kasha. The other kasha is, it's interesting that when you deal with tikkun, when we dealt with Maimonides, we did care about time zones. Right? In other words, we said, Kiddush Levana, you go by where you are. By tikkufas, you have a precedent, and this I was just thinking about this with Birchas Hachama, you really have a precedent by tikkufas that we don't go by this man. Because, and this maybe is not such a shtaka kasha, but that is when we say Birchas Hachama, we say the tikkufas at 6 p.m., the next day go outside and say Birchas Hachama. Now, if you live in Australia, right, the kufa really occurs on Tuesday, right? It's 6 p.m. I'm sorry, if you live in America, never mind. If you live in America, when that kufa of Nisan occurs in 2009, it's going to be Erev Pesach at 6 p.m. is the kufa. Now, why don't you go outside and say Birchas Hachama right then? The Teretz is 6 p.m. in April means the sun is setting. Now, we have daylight savings time, but technically, that moment is also when the sun sets, so you got to wait till the next morning. Now, if you're in America, you could technically go out Tuesday afternoon and say Birchas Hachama, right? It's a beautiful sun. And it's the Shasat Tkufa. So why can't I say it then? Teretz is Chazal or Mesaken Birchas Hachama for Wednesday morning. But you see, we don't, Alpha Pika, we don't care about time zones. This is just a side art. Anyway, let's go back to this. So, Lumaita, we Paskin, you don't go Meis La'is, we have the streets of Pichadish. Now, in the year 2005, what happens then? Well, the Mailad takes 365 and a quarter days. That's 365 days and 6 hours. So, 365 days later will be October the 7th. Plus 6 hours will be 9 a.m. So if you look at the Tkufa of Tishrei then, you will see that it would be 9 a.m. on October 7th. What I mean with Beis La'Eis, the Nafkamina is, by the way, if you go Beis La'Eis, in 2004... if you went to a minyan at, you went to 9 o'clock Maariv, 9:45 Maariv here on that night, you've already, it's not Meis La'Eis, you're already after the Tkufa, even according to Pre-Chadash. If you did it in 2005, then if you missed Maariv, you missed the same, you said the same Baruch on Maariv, you'd be okay, because it's only 2 a.m. our time. If you, once you went to Shema Shabbos, right, then you still might miss it if you dive in at 2 a.m., right? But Shacharis in Eretz Yisrael, you'd be okay. Over here, you would be okay, etc. But okay, let's put the Meis La'Eis aside. 2005, 9 a.m., October 7th. 2006, it's 365 days, 6 hours later. What time is that? That's October the 7th at 3 p.m. Okay, next. In the year 2007, Havol Leinu L'Toiva, it's 365 days later and 6 hours. So it's October the 7th. At what time? 9 p.m. Halachically, 9 p.m. is really tomorrow. Right? And we call October 7th. But halachically, it's really the Hebrew day of October 8th. If you look at the calendar, whatever the October 8th, 2007 will be, that's your first day of the Tkufa. Now you count up 60 days. What's the 60th day from October the 8th? December the 6th. So you begin saying Maariv not on December the 5th by Maariv, by December the 4th by Maariv. You don't say December 4th by Maariv. You say December 5th by Maariv because the Tkufa is really a day later halachically. So therefore, that's what the Beis Yosef means. The Avodram means in a year. Now, what he says in a year, let's go back to the Lashon of the Avodram. That's on page 14. So he says, Avraham says the 60th day occurs on the 22nd of November. If that February, now he's talking about now the Hebrew year, right? If in that Hebrew year, not the secular year, if in that Hebrew year there's 28 days in February, then it's on the 22nd of November. If there's 29 days in February in that Hebrew year, November. Talmud is a day later, right? So now we don't have 22nd, 23rd of November. We have December. And therefore, in a year, in 2007, that Hebrew, right, we're in October now, that Hebrew year will have 29 days in February.
Which is the following February.
It really means the following February of 2008. The way to think about it, right, because October 7th, 2007, and October and February 29th, 2008, are both in the year Tavshin Samach Ches. Another way to remember it is if in that winter, right? In other words, in that cold season, October 7th is right, chilly, that cold season, that winter, that fall-winter season, you have a February 29th, then Talamata gets pushed up a day ahead. Okay, and that's why, basically, in a secular year preceding a secular leap year, Talamata is December 5th by Maariv, instead of December the 4th by Maariv. So that would include 2007, 2011, 2015, 2019, 2023, and so on. Any year which, any secular year preceding a Hebrew leap year, any fall, winter, which is a leap year, or any Hebrew year which is a leap year, in that year, the same Talmud Levracha will begin a day later. Now, in 2003, we had something different. We actually began saying same Talmud Levracha December 6th by Maariv. That happens every 28 years, because December 5th by Maariv was a Friday night. So you couldn't say it then either. So you push it up to December 6th by Maariv. It's only once in 28 years, because sometimes it should be December 4th by Maariv, it's Friday night, so you make December 5th by Maariv. Some years it's not December 5th by Maariv. But if it's December 5th by Maariv, and it's a leap year, then it'll be December 6th by Maariv. You'll have it in that type of year. Now, how do we fix this? In other words, it happened in 75 also. How do you fix this? In other words, 2007, 9 p.m. December, October 7th. So here we said, Talamata begins December 4th by Maariv, and December 4th by Maariv, December 4th, but here it's December 5th by Maariv. Now, what happens with 2008? Why does it stay December 5th? The answer is that 365 days later is not October 7th. Because between October of 2007 and October of 2008, there are 366 days. Because there's a February 29th stuck in there. Which means 365 days later is not going to be October 7th, it's going to be October 6th at 9 p.m. No. But, hold on. But I have 365 days and 6 hours. So instead of being October 6th at 9 p.m., it's 6 hours later, which is October 7th at 3 a.m. So I go back to my starting point that I had in 2004. And that is, the Tkufa is on October the 7th at 3 a.m. The next year, 2009, it'll be, let's look at the chart. In October, well, and it's not on here, but let's go. If you go up to the chart, let's look at the year 1984. 1984, it was 3 a.m. October 7th. 1985, it was 9 a.m. October 7th. 1986, it was 3 p.m. October 7th. And all three of those, Talamata began on December 4th by Maariv. In 1987, you had 9 p.m. October the 7th, which means Talamata began on December 5th by Maariv, because it's halakhically a day ahead, because it was 9 p.m., and the following year, 1988, it was again 365 days and 6 hours later. Doesn't mean you move up 6 hours. It means you move back 18 hours. Because the year was 366 days long, and now I'm adding 365 days and 6 hours. So instead of moving up 18 hours, I move back. Instead of moving up 6 hours, I move back 18 hours, and therefore the tkufa again is 3 a.m. October 7th. Talamata is back to December 4th by Maariv. And again, 9 a.m. October 7th, 3 p.m. October 7th, 9 p.m. October 7th. Then it kicks back again. 3 a.m. October 7th, and so on. Every time there's a star, an asterisk means that in that year, it begins, Talamata begins on December 5th by Maariv.
Aren't you really going to October the 8th, 3 a.m., but since there's an extra day, so you have to move?
No, you're not, because there's 366 days here. So 365 days, usually, 360. If I go Be'ez La'ez, it's 9 p.m. October 7th. 365 days later will be 9 p.m. October 7th.
Right.
But if that year had 366 days,
it's October the 8th.
No, fakir, there was an extra day stuck in, so I didn't reach far enough. I only want to go 365 days later. This year had an extra day. So that means I fall behind. In other words, there were on the calendar 366 days. But I only want to say 365 days from right now, I don't reach the next year. If on December, if on January 1st, 2008, you say, come back in 365 days, when will you come back? You'll come back on December 31st. Because that's, right? You won't reach January 1st yet.
Only
what?
Only yet you'll understand.
Okay, yeah. Okay, good. Now, with this, we can farshtay, we can understand what happens, what will happen in the year 2100. But before we get to that, I want to make one point, and that is that the rarest Shemana Esrei that we have is the following. It happened in 1899, and it happened in 1995. And that is the following Shemana Esrei. Ala Nisim, Yalav Yavai, Atachan Antanu, and the same bracha. Okay? Because in order to have that, you need a following scenario. You need, Chanukah has to be very early, right? Because usually Chanukah, you say the same, usually by the end of Chanukah, you usually say the same Talmud Lebracha, because it usually falls after December 4th. Right? I mean, the beginning of Chanukah could be earlier, but it's only in those very early years that Chanukah is before December the 4th. Then you need it also that it should be a Matzai Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, which also, it happens, right? You'll have it this coming year. This coming year, Chanukah is Shabbos Sunday. So you'll have a Matzai Shabbos, so you'll have Atochan Antanu and Yalav Yavin Al Anisim, right? You have, again, it's Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos Sunday. That's the only way Rosh Chodesh can fall out on Shabbos. Shabbos and Sunday. So you'll have that scenario. But you won't, you'll say the same Talmud to the Bracha, because this year, the end of Chanukah is the place, December 20th, Baruch. So if you take this year's scenario, and it happens to fall out in a Mishunadik, an early year, you need both of those combinations, you'll have this setup of this Shemana Esrei, where it's a Shemana Esrei, with again, Atachan Antanu, the same Bracha, Yalav Yavin Al Nisim. Again, it happened in 1995. It had not happened since 1899. That's Shemana Esrei. Both of those years were very early. Right. I would say 95, I think 94. Sorry, 1994. You had it. 94? I'm not sure. And 1899. Another point, this, every century, the years, the days shift. Really, in the olden days, you have to realize this Gregorian calendar made it without, if we wouldn't have a Gregorian calendar, our Yom Tovim would fall out way earlier in the English calendar. For example, Rosh Hashanah in our calendar basically falls between September the 6th and October the 5th, Be'erach. If Pope Gregory had not changed the calendar, we'd be running 13 days earlier, which would mean Rosh Hashanah would be between about August 24th and September 24th. An average year would be, you know, September the 6th or 7th. Pesach, right? Everything would be totally shifted. It's all just the way the Ummah Yisrael play with the calendar, the backdrop that will have an impact on us. In a way, it's a good thing, because imagine Rosh Hashanah, all those early years when Rosh Hashanah is like Labor Day, everybody says the schools and so on. Imagine Rosh Hashanah August 25th, right? Right? It would be a camp nightmare. It would be the whole system would have to be different. Okay. Now, one more thing, and that's when the century changes, you have this event that occurs, and that is in 2096, you'll have the Tkufa at 3 a.m. on October 7th. In 2097, it's going to be at 9 a.m. on October 7th. 2098, it's going to be at 3 p.m. October 7th. So Talmud is 12:4 by Maariv, 12:4 and 12:4. In 2099, the Tkufa is going to be on October the 7th at 9 p.m. So Talmud is going to be on December the 5th, like every other year before a leap year. The following year should have been a leap year, but won't be, based on Gregory's calendar. And therefore, you don't have the 18 hours back. Now the tkufa is going to be 3 a.m. October the 8th. So therefore, Talamantar will be on December the 5th. In the year 2101, it's going to be 9 a.m. October the 8th. So Talamantar is going to be on December the 5th. In 2102, it's 3 p.m. on October 8th. So it's going to be on December 5th again. And in the year 2103, it's going to be at 9 p.m. October the 8th. That's October the 9th. So Talamantar is going to be on December the 6th. And then it's going to kick back and forth, which means in the next century, Talamantar is going to be the December 5th or 6th because of this skip leap day in the year 2100. And not only that, but all the whole Hebrew calendar shifts by a day. All the Yom Tovim will technically fall one day later than they would have had there been a leap year. Right? And in the following century, everything shifts a day again. So that's really the Yiddish calendar is shifting by one day every year, every century, that we drop a leap day. And that is how Talamantar works. Birkas HaChama is the same shift. In this century and last century, in the 1900s and 2000s, Talamantar begins on April 8th. Birkas HaChama is April 8th. In the 22nd century, it'll be April 9th. Because again, of this shift. That's the impact that it will have on the various calendars. Okay, so that answers all the questions that we asked, how it works. Again, you can see all this written out on page 16. We go through the whole cheshbon of the shifting of the days, the year before a leap year, and the actual century change, and how it changed. At the bottom of the page, I show you the 1800s, how that in particular changed.
According to the Brit Chodesh, on the same day you can have, because it's
technically correct, exactly. In other words, it goes by, or if it depends what minyan I'm at. Technically, it may depend on what minyan I'm at. Right? In other words, if I marav is at 9 p.m., if I daven before 9, I would say one thing. If I daven after 9, it would be different. Okay. The last thing I want to show you is two things as far as the secular calendar, which really one of them would have had a tremendous impact on the Yiddish calendar. Baruch Hashem, it never happened. But that is something called the world calendar. There were several versions of this. And had this would have been, Rahman al-Islam, had this passed through Congress and the United Nations, this would have been worse than all the enemies of Klal Yisrael in the 20th century. This had happened, would have. There would have the whole Kirov movement would have never happened. Le'aleinu, people would have been forced to be Michal Shabbos. What is this world calendar? Our secular calendar is off. It's not perfect. What does that mean, it's not perfect? Some months have 31 days, some months have 30 days. If you get paid, if you get paid every 2 weeks, some of you may have this issue. You get paid every 2 weeks, so what day is payday in the calendar? You pay mortgages on the first of the month. Amol, you get your paycheck on December, on the 3rd of the month, on the 10th, 8th of the month, right? It's all, you have 31 days in July and August. It makes no sense. If February is 28th, Bechlau makes no sense. It's all haphazard and based on, old, medieval, but prior to medieval, arrogant leaders, Julius Caesar, etc. So, in the world that we live in a very organized, structured world. Like the whole movement for the metric system was that same idea, is that you could take so many milliliters, so many cubic centimeters, so many grams, etc. Everything has to be nice and organized. So along came some people and said, let's organize the calendar. They had several versions of this. One version you'll find on page 22. And that says like this. We're going to create 3-4 quarters. And that is, each quarter is going to begin on a Sunday. And every quarter is going to have 91 days. And each quarter, again, begins on a Sunday, it has 91 days. So therefore, the first month will be 31 days. 31, 30, 30. 31, 30, 30. 31, 30, 30. So it's very good. It works out. You do the quarters, you can do bookkeeping. Every quarter is the same. It all works out very, very symmetrically. Another version of this idea of symmetrics was that we're going to make 13 months of 4 weeks each. In other words, there are going to be 28 days every month. So every month begins on a Sunday. Some would argue it's a boring calendar, but the first Sunday is the first, and the last day of the month is the 28th, right? And that's a Saturday. And if you do the math, you'll see that 28 times 13 is equal to 364, which is pretty close. This cheshbon that we have down here is 91 times 4, which is also 364. Okay, so it's pretty good, right? It's going to work, and it's nice and symmetric. This method is very good. You know, you get paid every other Monday, so you get paid on the 2nd of the month, and you get paid on the 16th of the month. It's mamish, and then your birthday's on the 4th of the month. It's always going to be on a Wednesday. You can know anybody's anything in 1 second, because everything is just beautiful grid, everything in place. Now, the one problem scientifically with this idea is that 1 second, it's 364, it's close, but it ain't 365. So what do we do with that extra day? Now don't tell me what you're going to do with the extra day is, okay, we'll make a 29th day to the 13th month, or this last quarter we'll have a 31st day, but then that means if the 31st day is Sunday, that means the next year is going to start on a Monday, and that undermines the whole thing, because we want every month to start on a Sunday. And in this calendar, every quarter starts on a Sunday, so you're going to undermine that also if you make another day. So what do we do with the 365th day? The Teretz is, we call it World's Day, and it's no day of the week.
Vacation.
Right? Vacation, holiday, an international holiday, peace and harmony, and so on. So what you have is the December 30th is the 364th day of the year. It's a Saturday. The next day is called World's Day. It's no day of the week. That night everyone gathers in Times Square and they count down, you know, 3, 2, 1, Happy New Year, and now it's all of a sudden Sunday, January the 1st. Now, the problem is, right? The Rosh Hashanah is 7th day. We're not interested in this. So what happens? On December the 30th, or in the other version, it was the last day, the 20th day of the 13th month, is a Saturday. We all go to Shul Shabbos. The next day, World's Day, we go to Shul, we say, Hayyam Rishon Shabbos. The next day, they're all saying Happy New Year, that's January 1st, and they're calling it a Sunday, but by us it's Hayyam Yom Sheni B'Shabbos. Okay? So now you have it's their Sunday, but it's our Monday. Comes along, January 1st is their Sunday, January 2nd is their Monday, the 3rd is Tuesday, the 4th is their Wednesday, the 5th is their Thursday, but by us it's Hayyam Yom Shishi B'Shabbos. So you go into your boss, and you say, listen, I have to take off tomorrow. Friday, right? Friday the 6th. Because it's tonight Shabbos. And he says, okay, you have vacation days. And you say, no, I have to take off every Friday of the year. Because Friday is Shabbos. So how would you work? I mean, most of, you know, many of us work in places that you can't just say, I'm taking off every Friday. How would people go to class? How would people work? It would be virtually impossible. And someone to become frum, you say, look, you have to become frum. You have to be shomer Shabbos. That means you can't work on Fridays. Well, that means I have to quit my shop. I have to give up my parnasa. It would be devastating. Shema mishrekla, worse than anything. The next year would be on a Thursday. Right? Because again, you have the same thing. And the next year would be Wednesday and so on. And leap year, how you do the leap year every 4 years? So that, you look in the middle of the chart, and it says leap day. Every fourth year, at the end of June, they add an extra day weiter with no day of the week in order to even it out. So every 4 years, it's an international holiday of leap day, etc., etc. This would have been devastating, and Baruch Hashem, it did not happen. One of the reasons it didn't happen, Baruch Hashem for superstitions, because if you look at the grid one, you have a Friday the 13th every single month. So that would have been, and in this one you have four Fridays the 13th in this cheshbon, right? January, April, July, and October. That wasn't the Ikar reason, but it certainly played an important role in undermining this potentially devastating idea. The last thing is if you look at the chart on the last page, you can have the ability to calculate the day of the week of any day in the following manner. If you follow the formula, you basically take last two digits of the year, plus the last two digits divided by 4, you want to drop the remainder, plus the day of the month, plus the magic number, plus the century adjustment. Take, divide that number by 7 and take the remainder. Okay, you can read through this example. Let's give the example today. Today is July the 17th, 2006. Okay? So to figure out what is today, what's the day of the week, you take the last two digits of the year, is 6, 06. The last two digits divided by 4, 6 divided by 4 is 1. Remainder, but we don't care about the remainder. Note that we don't care about the decimal. You take the day of the month, is the 17th day of the month. You take the magic number. The magic number here is 0, right? If it would have been June, it would have been 5. The magic number here happens to be 0. And you take the century adjustment. So the century adjustment is plus 6 for the 2000s. And you add them up and divide by 7 and take the remainder. So 6 plus 7 is 7, plus 17 is 24, 24 plus 6 is 30. 30 divided by 7 is equal to 4, remainder 2. So it means today is a Monday. If you have remainder 0, that's Shabbos, right? That's also remainder 7. Remainder 0 would be Shabbos. This works for any day in any century. We have it for 1700, 2000. Technically, you could do it for any day. You can figure out the day. So you want to know July 4th, 1976. You add it out. It was a Sunday. Those remember that was in Tebi, right? 30 years ago. It was a Sunday. You want to figure out July 4th, 1776. You could do the same thing, but you add 4 and you'll come up with the day of the week of. It happened to be Shavuos Matamas. It was a Thursday, right? Because it's July 4th, 1776 would be the same Cheshbon, but instead of 99, you have to use the 1700 century adjustment of 4, so it'll be 103. 103 divided by 7 is the number remainder, is 98 works, so it's remainder 5, so that was a Thursday, which happens to be Shavuos Matamas. Okay? That is how to calculate any day of the week in the secular calendar, and again, the secular calendar is working on the same cheshbon as those halachas of Shmuel. The last thing which we...
And then for the 2100s, you go back and essentially adjust what before again?
No. You have to add... I think it comes out... I'm not sure. I'd have to cheshbon that. The last thing which we have to just mention is the halachas of a person is born in Chodesh Adar. When we spoke about Shana Mu'baris, if a person is born in Adar and is bar mitzvah in Shana Mu'baris, there's a machlekes rishonim as to when his bar mitzvah is. Machlekes between the Ma'arid Mintz and the Marash HaLevi. The Ramah paskins the bar mitzvah is in Adar Sheni of that year. The other way around, of course, if two children are born in different other Aleph and other Beis, and the Mechaber's case is the bar mitzvah will be in the regular Adar, and of course it can come out one is old. The older one will have his bar mitzvah after the younger one. There's a halachas ketanis, pli de ketshuva, chelik beisim kufayin dalad, that says Yaakov Avinu was born, or Esav was born at the end of Adar Rishon. Yaakov Avinu was born at the beginning of Adar Sheni, and that's really why Yaakov's bar mitzvah came out earlier, and therefore he was entitled to the Bechor, because he technically was born earlier in Adar, and that's the chiddush of halachas ketanis, which Yaakov argues on him. If a person is born on Lam, in yard sites, we go by the first Adar. Go by the first Adar. That's the Ikra Halacha, Minig Ashkenaz. The Minig is to keep both Adars for yard site. And finally, if someone's born Lamed Adar Aleph, the Minchas Yitzchak says his bar mitzvah will be on Lamed Shvat, if his bar mitzvah is in a regular year. Because if he's born Lamed Adar Aleph, so what, there's no Lamed Adar in a regular year, when is his bar mitzvah going to be? So it's a machlokes. But the Minchas Yitzchak says, you look at, what do you do? You look at the fact, Lamed Adar Aleph is also Aleph to Rish Chaydash Adar Sheni. So if it's a Shana Pshuta, his bar mitzvah will be Aleph to Rish Chaydash Adar, which is Lamed Shvat, and therefore that's what he comes out, his bar mitzvah will be. You also have shadows if someone is born on Lamed Cheshvan or Lamed Kislev in a year when there's only one, when there's only one day Rish Chaydash. The Pesukim can speak about that case also. When his when it should be Pashas, his bar mitzvah will be, if there's no Lamed Cheshvan, his bar mitzvah is on Rosh Chodesh Kislev. If someone's born on the first day of Kislev when there was only 29 days in Cheshvan, and his bar mitzvah there were 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, the Mishnah Berurah says his bar mitzvah will be on the first day of Rosh Chodesh of that year, which is interesting. In other words, he was born on Aleph Kislev, and his bar mitzvah is in a year where there are 2 days of Shchaidish. His bar mitzvah will be on the first day of Shchaidish, which is really Lam and Cheshvan. So that means you have a Hechet Timsa where someone was born in Chaydish Kislev, and his bar mitzvah is going to be in Cheshvan, because you go by he was born on the first day of Shchaidish, which was only one day. It will come out that El Yerab is Chaylik on this. So you have Machlik, it's exactly when his bar mitzvah will be. Thank you for coming and listening. Mitzvah Hashem, Be'ez Hashem, B'Shat Tayyib, a year from this summer, hopefully, the night of the week to be announced, we're going to do the second half of this year, which is about the Zman HaYayim. We basically spoke about the calendar. In Kiddush HaChaydash, Mitzvah Hashem, we should have 4 or 5 weeks, or maybe 3, 4, 5 weeks, devoted to Zman HaYayim. Neitzachama, Chatzais, the Zman of Mincha, also dealing with Zmanim and numbers, but again, this is the Kiddush HaChaydash sugyas. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll talk about, hopefully next summer, we'll talk about the Zman HaYayim. And again, thanks for coming. Hatzlacha Rabbah, and enjoy the rest of your summer.